Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right, Saturday morning is here in style. That's right, Larry Krueger back with you. The Krug Show, Chapman in the house. A little Saturday morning dual stream celebrating all that is McCorkle Jones. Off and running on the Krug Show on a Saturday, and of course, we're brought to you by Pig It Up Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out, and they do run out, so get there early. Get some brisket chili. Tell them Krug sent you. And this 49er football season, the entire 49er football season, is also presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. That's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. And if you're watching me and Kev do this throughout the year, we are awesome right now. I may dump the channel altogether and just go work for Sleeper because we're making Sleeper lineups that are winner, winner, chicken dinner every week. So use the promo code Larry, L-A-R-R-Y. I don't know where we came up with that one. And Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. All right. Man, we are killing it on Sleeper. I'm not just saying that, guys. If you follow the show, you know firsthand that we have been absolutely killing it on Sleeper, winning almost each and every single week. To the tune of hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So, hey, you know what? It's a lot of fun. Check out Sleeper. Play yourself. And that extra C note, courtesy of just because you know us. John Chapman's in the house. What's up, Chapman? How are you, man?
Man, doing great. It's kind of crazy going into Sunday, and the 49ers already got the victory under their belt. Get to kind of relax a little bit. And it's kind of turning into a little bit of a hate watch Sunday where it's like, man, all those bad teams you're hoping lose so that they go into kind of sell mode and they start trading, because 49ers have some deficiencies. And I think they're going to be able to address those as we get closer to the deadline. But man, it is nice having that victory under your belt. It's Saturday. We still got a full day, and then you get to enjoy NFL and just kind of relax and just enjoy the weekend.
Man, we're going to see Cal Duke tonight, bringing Kev and my sons to Cal Duke in Memorial Stadium tonight. I'm going to bet Cal. I was thinking about maybe betting Texas today. How do you feel about Texas?
Dude, they ran Florida out of the building last year. Not quite sure it's the same Texas team. I know they're top 10, and, you know, I'm a diehard Longhorn fan, but we'll see. That defense is for real. So, like, I think that's kind of the thing, but the spread, single digits, like Texas is better than that. I think they're going to cover.
Yeah, I think so too. And also, have you seen Lagway, the quarterback for Florida? I mean, they are absolutely a circus. All right. Well, one thing that you guys got to do is you got to go with John to Tampa. John, tell us about the trip to Tampa. I just put it on the board there for people who want to check out the flyer. You can get tickets on TickPick app. You just have to search 49er Rush. But tell us about the trip to Tampa, man. It sounds like it's going to be fun.
Man, I'm so pumped. We're going to be partying on the beach, Larry. We're going out to Clearwater Beach the day before, Saturday, from 2 to 6 p.m. out in Clearwater. We'll be at Coco's North Beach, so come say what's up. We've got giveaways, trivia, you name it. It's going to be incredible. And then we have an all-inclusive premium tailgate right across the street from the stadium, as close as you can get. We got a pirate ship out front so we can take pictures. It's going to be a great time. And unlimited premium drinks, mixed cocktails, beers, food, off the charts. It's going to be a great time. So come party with us and just go to the TickPick app, search 49ers Rush, and come say what's up. We're going to be having a good time.
What's the most number of people that have ever traveled with you for any one game?
Man, we had 2 years ago in Arizona, we had pretty close to 700 people show up to our event, which was really, really good time. But we've had over 500, probably about five or six times, which very thankful for that. And man, the cool thing is, it doesn't matter how many people show up, you get to build those relationships and man, just increase the community. The faithful is the best fan base in sports. I truly believe that whenever they travel everywhere. Did you see how red that trip was down at SoFi? I think it's the reddest it's ever been.
That was unbelievable. I mean, it was. To say that, and people are just, you know, noticing it for the first time, crushing the Rams. It's like, wow. I mean, this, that was a takeover. That was a 49er takeover.
Man, I love it. I can't wait. We were in, you know, Tampa Bay last year, and we had a great time. So, really, that city's a good time, man. It's not New Orleans, but it's a lot of fun. So, really excited about this.
Mac Jones. Let's talk Mac Jones. He's 3-0 as a starter. I was looking up some of his stats last night because we're going to be talking more Mac Jones in the weeks ahead. 15-1 is what he was at Alabama as a starter. 28-2 was his record in games, Bama's record in games that Mac Jones played some portion of. Then he goes to New England. He goes 18-24. He went 2-5 for Jacksonville. And is now off to a 3-0 start with the 49ers. I mean, before we get your thoughts on that, let's share the screen because our buddy Baldy did an incredible breakdown of Mac today.
Love Baldy, man.
Yeah, I do too. I love Baldy. I could listen to Baldy on a loop. Here is Baldy breaking down McCorkle, and then we'll get into it.
Mac Jones was sensational last night, dropping back 50 times. But let's just watch some of his skill set. Here, he feels the rush. He steps up, protects the ball, knows exactly where everybody is on the field, and makes this throw over here to McCaffrey on 3rd and 6. Spatial relations, a big part. You watch this throw right here to DeMarcus Robinson on 3rd down right here. The ball's out. The timing, the throw, the back shoulder fade gives his receiver time to get both feet in bounds. Perfect throw on timing. All right, now you get this right here. Like right here, remember when his elbow and his forearm was getting rubbed all the time? Well, Fisk hits his arm. He can't follow through right there. Yet, even though his arm gets whacked, he completes the pass on the outside to Kendrick Bourne. 1 of 10 completions to Bourne. And then, like, this is just smart football. Like, you know what happens when balls get tipped like Quentin Lake does on a safety blitz? How many bad things can happen when that ball's in the air? And he just spikes it right into that Ram logo. Smart play, heads up play. Don't give the Rams a chance. And then on 3rd and 1, late in the fourth quarter, score tied 20-20. They take this shot, 5-step drop and release to Kendrick Bourne right there on the post cut. And he puts it right on the tee. Bourne plays a little tee ball. 1st down, get out of their end zone, keep moving.
Yeah, a little breakdown there from Baldy on Mac Jones, and great stuff there from Baldy. I mean, what do you make of Mac Jones' success in this offense? Is it like, you know, and some, it's weird. It's like he has that great game. He's 3-0. Immediately, everybody goes to, you know, it's like nobody. It can't be him. Right. It's like it can't be him. It's like it has to be somebody that isn't him, because people have already decided that Mac Jones is just kind of meh, just kind of kind of mid, as the kids like to say. But you know what? He's not. But everybody since then has been like, man, Shanahan, coach of the year. Man, the Niners shouldn't have paid Purdy because, here, wait for it, any quarterback can do it in this system. And you know and I know the truth. And the facts that people forget are that when Brock Purdy came off the bench against Miami in 2022, non-Jimmy G quarterbacks under Shanahan were 9-29, all right? So it's not like anybody can do it. Why is it that every single time somebody succeeds in this offense, it's like, well, it's just Shanahan. They would have said it's the weapons, but the weapons are not their normal weapons. They're backup, unimpressive weapons. It can't be the line because the line's not great. It can't be the defense. The defense is really young. So it's got to be, it can't be, you know, it couldn't have been Purdy was good, and it can't be Mac is any good. It has to be Shanahan. And I'm not against, you know, crediting Shanahan. I think he's a great coach. Anybody who watches this channel knows I'm very pro Shanahan. But John, this was not Shanahan the other night. It was partially Shanahan, but don't tell me that was all about Shanahan.
I think it's both and, right? Like, no doubt the 49ers put out a JV type squad. Your top five wide receivers are out. George Kittle's out. Your two starting wide receivers were cut within the past month. Like, this team was patched together, and you're playing against a top five defense. And yeah, quarterback was on the road. Now, with piped in crowd music, I don't want to get into that. But, right. But like, their quarterback situation was rough. And you've already heard Sean McVay come out and say, like, man, we've got to address corners. They're trying to add corners before the trade deadline. Like, they're weak there. But you have to give credit to both quarterbacks. It's not an either-or situation. Brock Purdy is a perfect fit in this system. Brock Purdy executes this offense as well as anybody ever has. But Mac Jones has come in and done the same execution without all of the star players through three games. You can't dismiss that. And I know everybody wants to turn this into, well, is it quarterback competition, all this stuff. Here's the best news. Mac Jones is signed for 2 seasons, and there are no decisions that need to be made. When Brock Purdy is fully healthy, he will start. That is not even up for debate. But now you have the luxury of having not one but two great quarterbacks that can operate this system. How many teams can say that? Maybe one. Maybe one team in the NFL can actually make that claim. The 49ers are in a wonderful position. And if we're going to be really honest, Larry, you look up and down this roster, depth is not something the 49ers have. They really, really don't have that luxury. All the injuries have kind of clearly shown that. And they've won games by the final possession on multiple games. And they've won, you know, all four of their victories by one score. They're not 2023 49ers. But the one place where you're just like, maybe you have the best depth in the NFL is the most valuable position in all of sports. I think that's got to be worth something.
You look great. Now, when you talk about Jones for a second, I mean, you know, it's like, he's a bust, you know, and I'd rather shop the quarterback, you know, the secondary aisle. I'd rather shop the TJ Maxx instead of the Macy's or Nordstrom's for my quarterback, because you pay a lot less price. But I mean, you know, I think we're forgetting how good Jones was. At Alabama, he was known for his accuracy. He was known for his football IQ. He was an SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year. He had a 4.0 GPA in communications, which was also my degree. So I know that's kind of an easy degree, but you know, but he also has a master's in sports hospitality, which I got to ask him about. That also sounds kind of bogus. I got a master's, really, in what? In sports
hospitality. It's like Matt Leinart majored in ballroom dancing, right? Like,
or like maybe John Chapman's travel, travels with the Niners should hire. Maybe you need an intern. Maybe Matt could be your intern because he's a sports hospitality masters. I mean, you might want to add him to your staff as you travel. But I mean, the guy, you know, 4.0 GPA, you know, first round draft choice, made the Pro Bowl in 2021, and, you know, was pretty damn awesome at Alabama. I mean, those stats are unbelievable. So, I mean, is it just that, is he a good quarterback that just got with a bad team and a bad situation in New England and Jacksonville and suddenly is going to be a good quarterback? Because, I mean, the guy plays on time. The ball comes out with accuracy. There's no doubt he can see the field. There's no doubt he can process what he's seeing. He's been taking care of the football. He seems like he's got a better view of the field than Purdy even at times. He gets fewer passes batted down because of his 6'3", 6'4", height. And yet, despite what you would say is Brock's obvious advantage in that is that Brock can really move and Jones is pretty much a statue, can't move, and the Niners don't have a great line. The Niners line, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how would you describe the line, the job they've done protecting for McCorkle? Because, I mean, he only got sacked once. He got hit 10 times. He was brutalized. And you can blame the line for that, I guess. But for a guy who doesn't move well behind a line that really has struggled to even protect for Purdy, who moves great, I would have thought maybe he would have been sacked 4 or 5 times. No, wasn't the case. What do you make of his performance? Is it a hot early start and he's going to cool? Or is this who he is? And have they really got something here?
I think that if you look at what Mac Jones' best traits are, and this is going back to his year in Alabama, well, guess who his offensive coordinator was? Steve Sarkisian, who came from the Falcons, taking the Shanahan system to college. Like, this is not Mac Jones' first time in this type of scheme. It's getting the ball out quick and understanding where you're going with the ball before you snap it. He averaged about 2.3 seconds per time throw, and he threw the ball 49 times. So, like, he's getting the ball out quick. And if you are trying to create this, not saying you're doing this, but if you're watching or listening to this and you're like, man, I think Mac's the guy over Brock, the one area where there is a very clear advantage is how fast Mac Jones gets rid of the ball versus how fast Brock Purdy gets rid of the ball. Now, in 2022, Brock Purdy got the ball out quick, but as it's gone, he's going for those home run plays instead of just giving what the defense is giving you all the time. Mac Jones, since Alabama, you can go to his rookie year where he was running it, runner-up for rookie of the year. He gets the ball out quick, and that was Kendrick Bourne that year as well. This is Mac's thing. He gets the ball out fast in this scheme. And so, that's the one thing that he can hang his hat on. Now, this was his first game where he protected the ball the entire time, and I think that is key. If you could get a quarterback that can protect the ball, not turn it over. Now, there were some turnover-worthy plays, late in the fourth quarter. He about hit two guys in the chest with the ball. Now, sometimes the ball bounces your way. Sometimes it doesn't. If one of those turnovers happens, is it a different narrative? I don't know, but here we are. 49ers are 4-1, and Mac Jones done his job. So I think Matt is in a perfect fit for him. All right. Sarkisian adapted Shanahan's scheme, took it to Alabama. That was his best year ever. Now he's back in it, and it looks like, hey, you got a damn quarterback. But I'll go back to this. My favorite thing about Mac Jones, one, he knows his role. Whenever he got up there at the podium, he said, I was brought here to be the backup quarterback.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this football season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is just how simple it is. More or less rushing touchdowns for Saquon Barkley, one, more or less. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. Christian McCaffrey upcoming, more or less than 43 receiving yards. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen pass yards, rush yards, touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. And you can follow other Prize Picks players directly on the app and copy their lineups in one click. Whether it's a friend, celebrity partner, or just someone whose picks you like, hit the follow button, check out every lineup they create in the new feed tab on Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks app today and use code 49ERS 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Imagine a way to travel that feels personal, comfortable, and connected. Without the price tags and the sterile feeling of hotels or short-term rentals, that's exactly what Kindred provides. It's completely free to join for owners and renters alike, and when you travel with Kindred, there are no hotel costs or rental fees. Just use the credits you've earned, and with every stay comes white glove service, 24/7 trip support, and $100,000 in host protection so that you can focus on the memories, not the logistics. And so whenever I think about traveling, I want it to feel personal and effortless. And that's exactly what Kindred delivers. My home earns me credits, and those credits unlock stays in beautiful homes all over the world. So apply now at livekindred.com. That's LiveKindred.com. Use code 49ers, 49ERS, to join for free. Plus, you'll earn 5 nights of travel credit just for signing up. That's livekindred, KindredKindred.com. Code 49ers. LiveKindred.com. Code 49ers. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a 5-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. I love that. That is huge. And two, you have them for 2 years under contract. So one, you keep the best quarterback depth in the NFL, or you could unload them for a quality defensive pass rusher, whatever else. I'm not saying I want to do that, but the 49ers have wonderful options right in front of them, and now you have the luxury of waiting for Brock Purdy to get 100% healthy after re-injuring that toe, and that is a good place to be.
Yeah, I mean, the title of the stream is 49er Controversy. What does Mac Jones's performance mean for Brock Purdy and the Niners? Well, I think what it means in the short term is that Brock can heal comfortably. Or uncomfortably, maybe, for him, because he's got to watch somebody else do his job, which I'm sure is not easy to do. It's always hard, especially if you're a, you know, type A personality, if you're an incredible, you know, competitor. It's hard to watch somebody else lead your team, especially when you're unable, especially when you aren't trying to show that you're, you know, tough and everybody plays hurt and this and that. This is a toe, and this could be a career ender if you let it get so bad. And I personally, I'd love to see them. You know, I mean, they have a sizable investment in Brock Purdy. You know, in some ways, I almost feel like the best thing to do for Brock Purdy would be to shut him down right now, go get another quarterback a veteran quarterback that you could play behind Jones, and just go with Jones, have the surgery, and get Brock on the road to healing for real, as opposed to heal, but get hurt again, heal, but hurt, get hurt again, heal, but hurt it again, because that's the road they're on. They're on the road to, he sits, it quiets down, he plays a game, it fires right back up. It's pretty obvious that's the road he's on with this toe. It's not like he's not going to play for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and also he's going to come back in week 8 or 9, and all of a sudden, boom, oh yeah, he's totally fine, and he played great the rest. No, it's not the way it's going to go. It's going to probably have to be surgically, repaired. So, what do you think? I mean, what should they do that? Should they ride with Jones? Should they? I mean, you know, there's a lot of different ways they can play their hand of cards. I don't want to see them go last week. Last time it was, well, we're going to go with Jones for a game. All right. Well, okay. Then we're going back to Brock. Now we're going to go with Jones, or we'll go with Jones for two games, I should say. Then we're going back to Brock. Well, they can do the same thing here. I'll go with Jones for two more games. And when Brock's toe quiets down a little bit, put him right back out there and have him exacerbated again. And we do this 2 weeks on, 1 week off, 2 weeks on, 1 week, you know. Is that the route they want to go for the year, or is it a better route to just go, hey, Brock, let's go get that thing surgically repaired, and if that's got to screw with our year, then so be it, but let's not screw around with your long-term future. It's not in our best interest as somebody who's got you under contract, and it's not in your best interest either to do this gutted out through a turf toe, making it worse, maybe making it making it much worse. That is kind of the nature of that injury. So how do you play your hand of cards here? Do you say it? And then how do you play your hand of cards with Jones? Would you rather trade him for a second round pick? Cause you might be able to get that. Or would you rather have him as the number two quarterback because you don't have the certainty? And then I would wonder what Jones wants at the end of the day, because Jones has been in, played at Bama, and he did nothing but win and have success. And then he goes to the pros, and he's a Pro Bowler as a rookie on this historic Patriots team. And then he's there for the unraveling, and then he's in Jacksonville. Now he's backing up here, and his future is still kind of murky. So do you think he'd rather be here, or do you think at the end of the year he's going to say to the Niners, I know I'm under contract for $7 million, but how about let me start somewhere and trade me to, you know, wherever, the Raiders or wherever, so I can go start. And thanks, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sit here forever as the backup. I mean, there's lots of different ways they can go. How do you think it goes?
I'll say this with Mac Jones. That free agent contract was announced early. It was announced day one of the free, like Mac Jones and his agent did not wait. They wanted to be here. They did not sign a 1 year deal. They signed a 2 year deal. This was a reclamation project, very similar to what you saw Sam Darnold go through. Mac Jones is 27. Mac Jones is 27. He's going to be 28 whenever he is on the free agency wire. He can sign with whatever team he wants and get $15 to $20 million a year. I don't think Mac Jones wants to go. He seems to be having the time of his life. His teammates love him. He's one of the guys leading the team out of the tunnel with the boombox. Like, I think that this has gone as well as it could possibly go for Mac Jones. And if he just continues to ride this out, he's going to get paid. He is going to be a starter. He's 27. The Shanahan reclamation period it's been successful in the past. And that's why Mac Jones wanted to come here. I think that's been huge. I want to keep quarterback depth, Larry. And remember, you are a play away. Kyle Shanahan was calling plays for Adrian Martinez just last week in the third quarter. Like, it's not like Mac Jones is the ideal picture of health right now. His knee's messed up. He's eating bananas on the sideline. Dude's a warrior. But behind this offensive line, I think we would be remiss if we didn't say we're going to have other quarterback injuries. So I have no clue if Brock needs surgery. They've told us it's not a true turf toe. It's different, whatever. I don't know. I haven't seen any of the MRI results. But I think you move forward with Mac Jones. You allow the luxury, which most teams don't have, of Brock Purdy trying to get healthy. I don't think surgery is the right way to go with the information that's been presented, but I don't trust Shanahan ever when it comes to injuries. That dude will say anything about injuries, so take that for whatever you will. But having the luxury of having Mac Jones start moving forward is great. When Brock Purdy's healthy, he's the starter, period. I do not think that there is a quarterback controversy. I really, really don't. And I think that the ceiling could possibly be higher with Brock Purdy. I know some people will disagree with me on that, but the, you know, extending plays, the scrambling ability, the off-script playmaking ability of Brock Purdy, I'd love. But this is not a bad problem to have. I always remember this. Charlie Casserly was the general manager for Kyle Shanahan when he was the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. And Charlie Casserly, he had this famous line, and he always had that like hardcore East Coast accent. The most important player on your team is the quarterback. The second most important player is the backup quarterback. Like, that is huge. Shanahan has been a part of a general manager team that understood that. And he was there with RG3 to Kirk Cousins. He was there for Jimmy G to Trey Lance to Brock Purdy. allow this to organically play out, I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed. I know the media and I know fans are like, ooh, Mac should be the guy. Quarterback controversy, whatever else. I don't see that, especially with the contract Brock got, especially with the resume Brock's had out there. I don't see that playing out this way. And I think that this is the best case for the 49ers moving forward. Keep them both.
What could Jones do to take the job away? I mean, in three starts, he's got 67%, 904 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 pick, protects the ball, 3-0 record, averaging 301 yards per game. That leads the NFL. How about that?
He's freaking awesome.
And so I'll say this. Well, man, the guys played against LA 32 of 49 for 342, 2 touchdowns, and a 100.9 rating on the road. I mean, this is a player that was given up for dead by both New England and Jacksonville. on passes under 10 yards, he was 28 of 37 for 258. Does that tell you that this is the dink and dunk guy? I mean, Brock will take chances down the field. 37 of his 49 passes for Jones Thursday night went under 10 yards.
I'll say this. I don't think there's anything Matt can do to take the job away. The only way that if we're 2026, who's the starting quarterback? Is it Mac Jones or Brock Purdy? Is if when Brock comes back, he has multiple subpar performance games, and then Mac Jones comes back and continues to do what he does. So, like, if Mac Jones starts the next three games and he plays just like this, Brock's still going to get a chance to start whenever he comes back. The contract, and, like, I'm just telling you, what were Kyle Shanahan's comments whenever they did the extension? I want Brock Purdy to be the quarterback as long as I'm the coach in the 49ers. Like, he has earned that privilege. Now, if Brock comes back and has 3 to 4 shaky starts after Mac Jones, and then Mac comes in and then does that again, that is where the conversation would start to be had. But I don't think that there's anything Mac could do to take the job away. I think the only way is for Brock to lose the job once he comes back as a starter and is quote-unquote healthy. I think that's the only way that that could take place.
Bobo says, Larry has Mac 10 on his fantasy team, that's why.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with
that. I do have Mac Jones on my fantasy team, but I also have Brock Purdy. So
that's nice. You just swap them in and out. If you combine them before the Rams game, most yards passed for in the NFL, the 49ers. And so, hey, you just keep rolling with – and this is the new 49ers, Larry. The run game, 2.2 yards per carry. This is no longer a ground pound, outside zone, run the ball first. No. This is a heavy passing Pac-12 after dark. You're going to see Cal play later tonight. It's like, I mean, that's where we're at. The old Tedford days, man, where you're just freaking airing it out. That's the Niners this season.
Let's talk more about that. There was a play in the game that was an amazing play, but it also led us to kind of discussion about the sorry run game. And here it is. Let's show this one first. This is your guy. Let's play Baldy's breakdown of it. Here's Baldy breaking down AC. Alfred Collins with the play of the game. Here he is right here. Big number 95 lined up cockeyed on the nose. Rams about ready to go in for the win. Except Alfred Collins said no.
The Rams had first and goal at the 3 last night with 1:07 to go. Number 95 for the 49ers is rookie Alfred Collins from the University of Texas. Rams going in. It's 23-20. Kyren Williams is going to take this ball. Alfred Williams splits this double team, and he takes that big right paw, and he punches the ball out, and he takes the ball away from Kyren Williams right there inside the 1-yard line. To secure the victory right there. To secure the victory. He comes out of this pile, and here he comes. He's got the ball. He's got the goods. He's got the receipt right there in his hands. But it wasn't over. No, it wasn't over. It became 26-23. It was 4th-and-1. Rams going for the win. There's Alfred Collins. There's Mykel Williams right there. The first and second round picks of the 49ers. The future. And they take the Rams, and they bubble them right here. And there goes Kyren Williams, stopped by the rookies. Alfred, Michael, Marquez, right there. Fred, they're all there. And the 49ers they come out victorious. It's the agony and it's the ecstasy right there on one play. The agony and the ecstasy. What a game. 49ers come out on top.
Great. I mean, I'm getting chills looking at that. Alfred Collins. I mean, first of all, that was an awesome play. The first one, he's getting combo blocked. He splits it. And then the guy that's still on him, he threw him away. And as the guy's still hanging around his midsection and he's not really freed up, he throws that big paw out there and he crushes Kyren across the face mask, rakes out the football, forces the ball out, forced fumble and fumble recovery. Game-winning play from Alfred Collins. That was awesome to watch. One, give me your thoughts. You're a Texas guy. I got to get your thoughts on that. But two, then that game should have been over, but it wasn't. And we got that second play because the Niners couldn't get a first down. So before we get into Shanahan, what'd you think of that play from Collins? That was spectacular.
My favorite thing, and again, you know, I was live for the draft and whatever else, and like I said, you know, going into day two, the number one player on my board for the 49ers would be Alfred Collins, huge position of need. That's who I wanted them to draft. Thankfully, they did, and a lot of people didn't like it. That's okay, but my favorite thing that I always hung my hat on my evaluation with Alfred Collins, he has the biggest plays in the biggest moments of the biggest games. You go watch the SEC championship, which Texas lost, but it was Alfred Collins versus Mikael Williams making plays in the fourth quarter at overtime, back to back to back. Like, that is who this guy has been. It hasn't been pretty so far. Let's just be very honest. Alfred Collins has been on a slow, steady pace of growth after missing OTAs. You had the contract holdout, which he crossed the picket line first. It got that because he's all team guy. Like, he is a culture fit with the 49ers. Now with Kalia Davis's injury, man, Alfred Collins is going to be starting for the next. He may start for the rest of his career. Like, he is in that place. Got his most snaps, highest PFF grade, amazing versus the run. Even got one of the two quarterback hits. Like, he is becoming a more complete player. But this is who Alfred Collins is in the best games. Now, nuanced take here, Larry. Be careful out there, listeners. You will find, and the 5 years of me being a Longhorn fan watching out for Collins, sometimes in the not-so-important games, he will kind of disappear a little bit. Like, he loves the bright lights. So I don't expect just him to be on this constant terror. It's big games, big moments. That is when Alfred Collins will show up. Now, number two, what was your question number two? Sorry, I got too excited there, Larry.
Well, then, it gave the Niners the ball back, and they're on their own 1 yard line. And yeah. I understood the first play. You go quarterback sneak because you want to get off the one. So now you're on the two. Now it's second and nine from the two, and you got, if you can get a first down, it's ball game. But they didn't even try for the first down. They just bucked into the line twice and punted. And really, that whole last opportunity that Stafford had, that goal line or that fourth down stand, never would have even been necessary if they can get one first down. So explain to me this. I'm a big Kyle Shanahan fan, and he's considered an offensive guru. If you're an offensive guru, how come you can't, there's no stop route. There's no short passing play. You don't have any bread and butter go to, you know, I mean, Stafford has several go to pass plays with Puka where these guys can complete it in, you know, their timing routes with a guy with a great arm, a crazy release, and a receiver with unbelievable ball skills, great hands, and toughness. I thought that that McVay blew it on the fourth down call because I thought he should have passed. Instead, he runs a sub 200 pound running back into the teeth of Alfred Collins and Mikael Williams, two guys that are great at playing the run. Why would you do that? That was so foolish. So I thought he was foolish, but then I also kind of felt like Shanahan had an opportunity to really ice the game on offense. And I think Reed probably and Mahomes probably would have been able to ice that game and not hand it back to their defense. But the Niners seem unable. What's the deal?
I think the context of the situation kind of makes it a little bit more obvious why Shanahan did what he did. Connor Colby was playing about as bad football as any player on the field. Like, he was completely burnt out. He was exhausted. You're backed up on your two. Remember, this team gave up a safety in the same situation the very previous week and almost cost them the game. Now, on top of that, Mac Jones, he was not mobile at that point, just took two big hits on the previous drive. He didn't look like himself. You got to make them burn their timeouts. And I know I could say this in hindsight, but this game came down to who's not going to lose. And sometimes the 49ers, why have the 49ers been in every single game this year, Larry? Their defense, especially their defense in the fourth quarter and overtime. And seven times, there's only been five games, but in the Cardinals game, they gave them two chances. And then in this game, they gave them two chances where you had seven defensive stops to allow your offense to go out there and win the game through five games, every single game. So I'm a former defensive coordinator. Like, you go with the girl that got you there. You had to make them use their timeouts. Trust your defense. They're the ones that put you in this position in the first place. I'm not saying it's the best thing. I'm not saying that's what you should do every time. But with Mac Jones hobbled, Connor Colby not playing well at all, like, make them burn their timeouts, punt. Your punt team's been great all year, and the defense has answered the call every damn time in the fourth quarter or overtime whenever you needed them most, and they did it again. So the decision worked, and again, I know hindsight's 20/20, whatever else, but whenever I was watching the game, I was like, all right, you got to make them use all three timeouts no matter what. No matter what. It worked out in the end, but yeah, there's definitely going to be some second guessing there. I know the EPA nerds and all that stuff are like, go for it, go for it, go for it, throw the ball, whatever else. But sometimes you got to not lose the game. And with the Rams, blocked extra point, missed field goal, fumble at the one, stuffed on fourth and one, bad quarterback call. Like you said, on that fourth and one play by McVay, and McVay even said that themselves. Shanahan didn't lose this game. McVay and the Rams did. The 49ers relied on their defense when it mattered most, and it has answered the call every damn time this season. And if they're in the same situation again, I think Kyle's going to do it again. Remember, they were 3-for-3 on fourth down. It's not like Kyle was just all conservative the whole game. They went 3-for-3 on fourth down. I think that was kind of the right call there, personally. And I know everybody disagrees with me, and that's okay. And I don't always side with Shanahan. But on the timeouts and whatever else, those are some major issues. But I think that one played it safe, and it paid off.
I mean, they won the game. Yeah. So ultimately, you know, we got that in our back pocket. So you can always say the plan worked, but you did give the ball back to your opponent on their home field with a chance to beat you. And they almost did. And you know, that fumble that should have ended the game. It brings up another thought. Christian McCaffrey is averaging 1.47 yards before first contact. That's not very good. And what are they going to do? What should the Niners do to jumpstart their run game? Because Niner fans are going to talk more about Purdy and Mac Jones and, you know, than they are about this offensive line and this rushing attack. But the bottom line is, if the Niners can't run, it really doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They're really not going anywhere. I mean, CMC is a great player, but 1.47 yards before first contact is what he's averaging. That's not very good. I think the Eagles last year with Saquon Barkley were averaging like 3-something yards before contact. So he's not getting through the line of scrimmage. What would you do? Is there anything that can be done in your mind to jumpstart their run game?
Jumpstart the run game? Probably not. I think you could incorporate more screens. 49ers have been very successful with screens the last 3 weeks. They just don't run it very often. The problem is the interior offensive line starts there. Connor Colby, he had a 51 blocking grade. Dominique Pooney, not consistent. Jake Brendel, one of the worst run blocking centers in the NFL. He's there to pass protect and make the right calls, which he does do. But also the wide receivers. Kendrick Bourne is not a good blocking wide receiver. Never has been at any point in his career. You don't have George Kittle, the best run blocking tight end in the NFL. You don't have Juwan Jennings. So it's interior offensive line. It's lack of the tight end position getting moved. Tonjes is great, but Tonjes is playing up. Like, he's not a run blocker. He's a move tight end three guy that can come in and offer a little bit extra in the pass catching ability. That dude's playing fullback snaps. He's playing tight end one snaps. Like, so you're asking all these guys to play up beyond their pay grade, beyond what they're supposed to do in this system, and that hurts. Once you get Ayuk back, if he comes back, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, I think that's going to help with some of the perimeter runs. I don't know if there's anything you can do. And I think the 49ers got to stay pass happy. I can't believe I'm saying this because I've always been run the ball 32-plus times every game no matter what. But when you're averaging almost 2 yards a carry and Christian McCaffrey's getting mauled behind the offensive line consistently, you hold defenses honest. I think it's going to stay like this. And, you know, you're playing – you can run against this Rams defense. And the 49ers look like the worst running team in the NFL. They'll be probably 31st once week five stats in for everybody else on yards per rush for the season. I think that's going to kind of continue. So you try to run the ball 20 times a game. You rely on the passing game. And you just start throwing – you go with your strength, which right now that's the way your offensive line is designed to help in pass protection. And you get the ball out quick. I think that's the recipe for success. I think the run game is going to be bad until Kittle comes back and you get those wide receivers back.
You know, Greg Cosell weighed in on the Niner run game. Listen to this. This is a pretty good little nugget from Cosell on the Niner run game. He was on the radio on 95.7 The Game.
What did you see with Brock Purdy last week in what was clearly not a great performance for him?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be honest with you guys, and I know you got to do this because you're on the radio every day, but the week-to-week stuff with Brock Purdy is a little – kind of gets a little silly to me because I almost Max. Feel like people talk about Brock Purdy as if, well, he's not really that good, so if he has a good game, yeah, let's wait and see then what he's going to do next week. I mean, Brock Purdy's their starting quarterback. He's a good player. I mean, I think if you pretty much talk to almost anybody, they'll tell you he's a good player. Was he as sharp as he normally is in this game and he had just come back and we have no idea how the injuries affected him? He wasn't as sharp as he normally is working between the numbers. There were throws he was a little wild high. I don't know if that's a function of his toe, his shoulder. I can't speak to that. You know, to me, the much larger issue for this team, and almost every quarterback in the league is like this, they need a running game. They cannot run the football. There's no sustainability. There's no consistency. They're one of the worst rushing teams in the league right now. McCaffrey is, I think, at the bottom of the league in terms of yards before first contact. He's not getting past the first level of the defense. His first contact on average is 1.47 yards. Think about that. Okay, so their run game is what the main issue is right now, because Purdy, as I said, almost every quarterback is, with very few exceptions, is a ball distributor and an executor of a well-schemed offense. And if the offense can't run the football, it puts him in a really difficult spot.
Yeah, now no question. And you could throw Jones into that mix as well and say a lot of the same things. So he's basically saying, hey, look, we can talk about the quarterbacks, guys, but it's about the run game. Kittle, you mentioned Kittle coming back. I definitely think that will help. If they can get Ayuk back, you've got a guy who can block down the field. If you get JJ back, you got a guy who can block down the field. If you get Pearsall back, you know, if you're more of a threat in the passing game, then they can't commit that extra guy.
And Pearsall blocks harder than Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne refuses to block. Like, he does.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Kendrick Bourne anymore because I said
we're
that
talking
was
the run game. It correlates.
I know. I hear you.
But he's amazing.
He had an amazing game. But that's it. They got to run the ball. They're going to have to figure out a way to run the ball more effectively, or they ain't going anywhere. Let's hit some supers. John's going to join me on KMBR here, top of the hour, for a little overtime. We're going to go a little overtime on YouTube. On the radio, Tommy Huxley says, you see what happens, Larry, when you leave Kendrick Bourne in the
In the Alps. I love it, man. Kendrick Bourne redeemed himself.
And oh my God. I said he was perfect, done.
I did too. I mean, he cost you the game. You lost that game because of him. But he comes back and you don't win that game without him. He's the perfect wide receiver five, I think, for the 49ers. I think that's right where he needs to be moving forward once you get everybody back. Perfect wide receiver five.
Sean Kirkpatrick says, Krug, Mac's been playing better than Brock with worse players against better teams. I understand he said he's QB2. I get that. But at some point, if we keep pace with where we're at, with Brock throwing two interceptions a game, yeah. I mean, you know, nothing stays the same. You know, yes, I agree with John. Brock is the quarterback. But I don't know that his hold on the thing is ironclad. You know, especially it's a very fluid game. It's all about results.
And what's NFL stand for? Not for long.
And also, it's like, you know what? Mac Jones looks really, really good. I mean, it doesn't look accidental. It looks like he could replicate this weekly. Well, who knows? I mean, Brock Purdy looked amazing in the first three games, and then the league adjusts. Whiskey Guns and Trucks has helped me understand why Bourne was the guy and not DeMarcus Robinson. Previous chemistry, matchups, or is it DeMarcus Robinson is more of a deep threat kind of a guy? Cheers, boys. Love a 49er win on a Thursday to celebrate all weekend. Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be great. It does make for a fun weekend. But what do you make of this? I mean, I thought DeMarcus Robinson for sure was going to get 10 targets, but is it really just a simple, you know, hey, Mac Jones is the guy with his finger on the trigger and he's got experience with Bourne and he's going to throw. I watched my son's high school game last night. They're going spread, and yet their quarterback only really throws it to like one receiver, maybe a second one. The other guys are just out there just running. And I'm sitting there going, you know, why is that? Well, because he believes in those couple receivers, and that's kind of the way it goes.
The comfort level is huge, and people forget DeMarcus Robinson could not practice for the last month. That dude had four practices before this game. That's it. Four. And so, like, he's got to get back into it. And, you know, he got seven targets, but he was three catches on seven targets. Kendrick Bourne was 10 out of 11. It should have been 11 out of 11, but he did have that big drop, but totally redeemed himself. Like, you got to give it to him. But I would argue this. DeMarcus Robinson will be ahead of Kendrick Bourne eventually on this depth chart, wide receiver depth chart, as the year goes on. So just expect that. He's a better run blocker. He can play all three positions.
He's Kendrick better.
Bourne's awesome. He's more consistent.
And he's younger. He's more in his prime. Robinson's a better player at this point. Just he's been off for a few weeks. Maybe that was it. Ray Bands says, make CMC the new Achan. 10 carries, 15 targets a game. Have Robinson become the primary. Where's Jordan James been? Garendo. My God. I think I might trade Garendo. If I could get anything for him at all, I think I'd trade Garendo. Silence says, love Collins' improvements. Beat the double for that forced fumble. Mac Jones is awesome. What's his trade value now? Could help us get Trent's replacement. I would say if Mac Jones continues to play the way he's playing, he might fetch a late first. But I would say for sure you're going to get a second-round pick for Mac Jones.
He's young, 27.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know that I would want to make that move. I might want to keep him. Review Scientology USA. Since Kalia is out, is Sebastian Valdez next up? I think so.
You got to remember, like Jordan Jefferson, they're going to try to get him back on the practice squad
already, though.
Yeah, that's right. I love Valdez because he offers more in pass rush. But then you also have their stud last year, who's on the practice squad. Goodness, they
got Evan Anderson.
Yeah, Evan Anderson. Thank you so much, Larry.
And there's also edge guys. They could always go with an extra edge guy and play Mikel inside more. They have William Bradley King and Travis Gibson. Gibson got the elevation Thursday night. You can only get three elevations a year. So, but I mean, some combination of Valdez and Anderson, I would imagine, are first up. And I love those guys, by the way. I think both those guys have a lot of talent. Anderson's more of a run stuffer. Valdez, I think, is much more of a pass rusher. But I like them both. I really do. I think both those guys can really play. All right, that is going to do it for us. I'm going to jump over and start the wait, we got another one here.
Oh,
get this one. Silence says Mac is quicker to check down. Brock's deep,
very
to short.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah, Mac is looking for the check down more. And by the way, we didn't even mention it, but probably should be mentioned here. Eddie Pinheiro. Oh my God, Eddie Pinheiro. He was fantastic.
Four.
11 for 11. And in his last 11 field goal attempts. So Eddie's doing incredible. We're moving this show over to KMBR for a little radio side. John's going to join me over there at 10:15. So please join us on the radio, iHeartRadio, if you're out of town. Or you can catch it on the KMBR YouTube channel, but join us now. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Clawdaddy Arcades. There's links in the description for all of our sponsors. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy some college ball. Enjoy a free Sunday. Peace.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.